Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Bitcoin Enlightenment Ending the Fiat Dark Age is a 2025 nonfiction book by Mexican entrepreneur Ricardo B. Salinas, written with Pascal Hoogly and Daniel Jungen, and associated with a foreword by Saifedean Ammas. It positions itself at the intersection of monetary history, economic critique, and Bitcoin advocacy. Rather than treating Bitcoin as a speculative technology story, the book frames it as a response to the structural weaknesses of fiat money. Salinas draws on family monetary lessons across four generations and on his experience living through Mexico's hyperinflationary period in the 1980s, giving the argument a personal and historical foundation. The book aims to show how inflation, debasement, and state-controlled currency systems can distort incentives and erode wealth. At the same time, it presents Bitcoin as a monetary alternative defined by scarcity, transparency, and rule-based issuance. Readers interested in money, inflation, and the broader philosophy of hard assets will find it especially relevant. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, fiat money is a system of hidden erosion and social distortion. A central argument of the book is that fiat currency is not neutral. It is presented as a system that enables persistent purchasing power loss through inflation and currency expansion, while concealing the cost from ordinary savers. The book links monetary debasement to broader social consequences, arguing that when money can be created without a hard constraint, incentives shift toward short-term consumption, political manipulation, and hidden redistribution. This framing matters because it turns monetary policy from a technical issue into a moral and institutional one. And instead of viewing inflation as an abstract percentage change, the book treats it as a mechanism that affects labor, savings, planning, and trust. By emphasizing how fiat systems can reward debt accumulation and punish saving, the authors make a case that the problem is not only financial but structural. The critique is anchored in the idea that weak money produces weak institutions because people adapt their behavior to unstable monetary rules. Secondly, personal experience with hyperinflation as evidence for hard money thinking. The book draws significant authority from Ricardo B. Salinas's personal and family experience, especially Mexico's hyperinflation in the 1980s. That background is not used as decoration. It functions as a practical demonstration of what happens when currency loses credibility. In such environments, savings can be destroyed rapidly, prices become difficult to interpret, and planning for the future becomes precarious. The book uses this lived context to argue that monetary instability is not theoretical for people who have experienced it directly. This perspective gives the discussion a different tone from academic macroeconomics because it is grounded in survival, memory, and intergenerational transmission of financial caution. The inclusion of four generations of family wisdom also suggests that monetary prudence is cumulative. Families and communities learn to protect themselves when the currency fails. As a result, the book presents Bitcoin not as an ideological novelty, but as a response to patterns that have already repeated in real economies. Thirdly, Bitcoin as a rule-based store of value rather than a conventional payment narrative. The book consistently frames Bitcoin as an alternative monetary standard, not merely as a digital payment tool. Its appeal, in this view, comes from mathematical certainty, fixed issuance rules, and resistance to arbitrary inflation. That makes Bitcoin closer to a hard asset framework than to a typical fintech product. The book stresses the importance of scarcity because money must preserve value over time if it is to support saving, long-term contracts, and rational capital allocation. By highlighting Bitcoin's predictable supply, the authors contrast it with fiat systems that can expand supply in response to political or institutional pressures. This is a key conceptual move. It shifts the reader from asking whether Bitcoin is convenient to asking whether it is trustworthy as money. The book appears to argue that trust in money should come from transparent rules rather than from promises, discretionary policy, or institutional discretion. In that sense, Bitcoin is positioned as a monetary discipline mechanism. Fourthly, a historical reading of money that connects ancient monetary failures to the present. Another important dimension of the book is its historical lens. It does not treat Bitcoin in isolation, but places it inside a longer story about how money evolves, fails, and is redefined. By tracing the rise and breakdown of monetary systems, the book suggests that currency history is marked by recurring tension between convenience and credibility. Money becomes vulnerable when its form can be manipulated by those who control issuance. That historical framing helps readers see fiat currency as part of a broader pattern rather than a permanent achievement of modern civilization. The book's value here is explanatory. It gives the reader a way to compare past monetary arrangements with today's system and notice how similar incentives can produce similar failures. This also makes the Bitcoin argument more legible because it is presented as a historical correction to recurring monetary abuse. The book thereby turns monetary history into a warning about what happens when institutions lose the ability or willingness to preserve sound money. Lastly, a philosophical case for monetary sovereignty and individual protection beyond economics, the book makes a philosophical case that money shapes freedom. If a currency can be debased, then the state or issuing authority can quietly reduce private wealth without explicit consent. The book presents that as a challenge to autonomy, because savers, workers, and families lose control over the value of their earnings. In response, Bitcoin is framed as a tool for monetary sovereignty, an asset and network that reduces dependence on the discretion of centralized institutions. This theme matters because it broadens the book from a technical critique into a civilizational argument about how people should protect their labor and future. The implication is that sound money is not only useful for investors, but necessary for social trust, responsible planning, and fair economic relations. By connecting money to dignity and self-protection, the book situates Bitcoin within a larger debate about power, accountability, and the limits of state-managed currency systems. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a serious, opinionated case for Bitcoin grounded in monetary history rather than trading hype. It will appeal to investors, Bitcoin supporters, students of inflation, and anyone trying to understand why critics of fiat money see currency debasement as more than a policy inconvenience. Its practical value lies in helping readers think more clearly about savings, purchasing power, and the incentives created by inflationary systems. Its intellectual value comes from combining personal experience, family memory, and a historical critique of money into one coherent argument. Compared with many books in the Bitcoin category, it stands out because it is not primarily a technical guide or a price prediction narrative. Instead, it treats Bitcoin as a response to the failures of fiat money and as part of a broader debate about institutional trust and monetary sovereignty. Readers looking for a concise but forceful framework for understanding why hard money arguments persist will find it distinctive. If you would like to support Ricardo B. Salinas, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.